Hello, everyone, and welcome to my Brain Injured Friend podcast. My name is Beata, and my co-host is called Alexandra. We would like to thank you for tuning in today and listening to our podcast, as this is our very first episode.
Yeah, we really hope you're here to stay for the next episodes and maybe for the season. Who knows, right? We're very grateful to have you with us. We're going to talk about a lot of things, but mainly regarding brain injuries and things related to it.
All from our own experiences. Not too hectic. It's all going to be conversational and easy to listen to.
Exactly. We hope you really enjoy, and we can't wait for your questions and for getting you involved in this podcast.
Yes, growing the community.
Yeah. Shall we say a few things about ourselves so that they know who they're listening to?
Mm-hmm. So as mentioned, my name is Beata, and I would describe myself as a bubbly, friendly individual. I am now 27 years old, and I love design. I've actually always loved design and drawing. As a kid growing up, my grandmother was actually my very first art teacher. And after she decided not to give us classes anymore, I took a lot of classes during primary school and high school and just loved it. I actually also took design as an extra subject as well. So lots of design things. And currently, I'm actually very interested in sustainable fashion. I've always been interested in fashion, but I'd say in the last 3-4 years or so, it's kind of developed into sustainable fashion. And I now have an entire YouTube channel dedicated to it. So the passion is growing. I am married to a wonderful man. His name is Michal. We've been married for almost 2.5 years now. And I am also plant-based, as you'll also hear something like that, similar to from Alexandra.
Exactly.
I've been experimenting for quite some time, but I'd say I've probably been at least a 90% plant-based eater since mid-2018. Yeah, and that's a little bit about me.
We're so similar in some of these things. So probably I will repeat half of what you said, but I'll try not to repeat it.
Why are we friends again? We don't have anything in common.
Exactly. Well, my name is Alexandra, and I'm 29. I'm a simple, straight to the point kind of girl, originally from Romania. And now I'm also a Dutch citizen, so I have dual nationality, which I'm really proud of.
You should be.
I love education, like of myself but also of others, and also skincare. Since a few years back, I've been really getting more and more obsessed with it, I think, especially on the SPF and anti-wrinkle things. But I guess it's the time now, right? I mean, we're not old, but you know, we're
preventative,
not,
right?
And let's just say we're not getting younger, so
that's actually a huge thing we kind of I want to say became friends over, was also the love for education. I think even during the year we spent together, living in the same city, I think that is something we spoke about a lot. And I feel like this also ties in so well with the whole theme of educating ourselves others. Yeah. Hey,
and I think, I don't know if you know this, but when you were mentioning now about that you had the tutoring business, I just remember that I was tutoring children when I was in high school, children from primary school. I was teaching them English. So I was like, oh, I also did that.
I think you did tell me that. And I actually didn't mention it now. I see it's in my notes and I forgot to mention it. Yeah, because that is something I actually had while I was a student at the University of Cape Town. And I started a tutoring company while I was living there. And it was awesome. And I was so happy to have it. And it was also great because it financed so many things during my student years. But I remember you told me you were also tutoring, and you always had a love and passion for education.
Exactly, yes. Well, what is there more in life than getting better and better every day? Everyone should just like aspire to that, I think. I feel getting better. Well, that's me. And of course, just like you said, I'm also kind of into plant-based eating. And in the last 2 years, I actually found that that's the way my body works best, especially after the brain injury when everything was so difficult. I thought, at least if I can make my body feel, you know, better from a food point of view, then maybe some things will get easier, at least, you know, on that
side.
Yeah, to
feel as based you can, as strong as you can, you know, better care of yourself. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's been one of the best decisions I've ever taken in my life so far, I feel like. So, yeah, that's us as an intro, I guess, but we'll tell them much more when we go into all the details.
Yes, let's get into the rest. Next question, where are we from? I'm from South Africa and I was born in Pretoria. To those completely unfamiliar to South Africa, you might have heard of Johannesburg, and Pretoria is very close to Johannesburg. I lived in Pretoria throughout primary school and high school. And then I had an amazing gap year that I did here in Pretoria after I finished high school. I then moved to the university, or I moved to Cape Town to go study at the University of Cape Town. I loved Cape Town. Previously, I did go visit it quite a bit, but I love the city. It's an amazing city. And actually, while I was studying there, I started a tutoring company. It was called Better Brains Tutoring.
I think
second logo I've designed with a brain in it. Little did I know. But anyway, so I had Better Brains tutoring. I then moved back to Pretoria after my studies. And I then got a job from a American tech company. But the first year was a year abroad in Amsterdam, where I almost did like a type of a graduate year. I don't know what it's called, but that is where I met Alexandra. So I met her in Amsterdam. I lived.
Yeah, we met there. It was great.
Yes. So I lived and worked there for 1 year and then moved back to South Africa. I got married in March 2018, and Alexandra was invited. Obviously, Alexandra and Nick was invited.
But then we missed it.
So we'll get to that now.
Oh.
But any case, and 7 weeks after our wedding, I actually had my stroke. I continued working for the American company for a year after it, and then I decided to resign. And currently, I am building a sustainable clothing company. So that is where I'm from and what I'm up to.
Yes, and I was born in Romania and lived there for 19 years, and then I decided to go to university in Scotland. So that was like everybody asks me why, and it was just a mistake. I mean, a coincidence kind of thing. It was never supposed to happen, but
a mistake in that way. Okay, was that? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. No, not a mistake. In the end, you know, it turned out great. The 4 years was good, and I did the exchange year in here. So then I found out that this is my place. But in the beginning, I was supposed to study in Romania still. But I decided in the end I'm gonna go. So I just went, and then I came over here and loved it. And I think this city is really the city for me. And I felt always like home in the Netherlands. And so I stayed. So now I've got like a dual citizenship, Dutch and Romanian. So part of me feels very Dutch. Part of me still feels Romanian, I guess.
and your husband is also from there. He's also a Dutchie.
My husband is also a Dutch. And I met him in Paris. So that's
very international.
Yeah, I didn't meet in the Netherlands. But yeah, very international. No, but it's good how it turned out. If Scotland wasn't in the picture, probably I would have never ended up here. So, I'm grateful for that. And I also started working in the same time for the tech company as you, Beata. Of course, you know that, and we met, and it was a great year. I think one of my best years in terms of like doing things at the
Yes, and
job,
it was great people. We
right?
had how
So
many
fun.
nationalities joined together in that graduate year? I don't want to like exaggerate, but I
A
wanted to say
lot.
something like 27 or 33 or something like that.
Yeah,
Anyway, it was a crazy amount of
exactly.
people, or nationalities rather. I think our group was what, 80 people? Something like that, was it not? Both
I think
sides?
so, yeah. There
Yeah.
was a lot of people from Europe, but also a lot of people from Middle
Yes.
East and
Yes.
Africa, right?
Yeah, it was
And
Europe, Middle East, and Africa. You're
yeah,
right.
Middle
Yeah.
East, Africa. Great time, great
Yeah.
year. I mean, 2016, 2017 was really
Fantastic
good.
people. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we were supposed to come to your wedding in 2018, in like in end of March, and then one month before, like 28th of February, I got the stroke. So that was very sad in terms of okay the event itself, but I also really really wanted to come
Please,
to your
can we
wedding,
just
so
put
then it
the
was like
wedding
double
to the
sad.
side? I mean, I was crying so much. I remember the night before. No, I think it was 2 nights before our wedding. Michal and I arrived early at the venue, and we were sitting by ourselves and having dinner to get everything ready. And we phoned Nick, and yeah, we cried so much. And you were still, I can't even remember where you were.
I had
Yeah, we
no
spoke with
clue.
Nick. I actually, no, we didn't FaceTime him, we only phoned him. We had like a call just like right before the wedding, and yeah, I shouldn't start crying
I
now,
also
but I
remember
feel
it's
almost
sick.
like, yeah, emotional.
No. But it's so so interesting that you also remember the exact moment, because I also remember the exact moment when I learned about what happened to you, because I remember that I was on the bed and there was a group that
Oh,
Michal
really?
created, like a WhatsApp group. And then I saw something, it was called something like Beata's recovery or something, and I was like, oh no, what
Are
happened?
you
And I didn't even want to
serious?
open that message. Yeah, that's how I found out. And then I was like, I don't even want to open what's going on. And then I clicked and then I read and I was like, no way, no way. And Nick was in the other room. And I think he was like busy doing work. So he was not, he was working from home and he had no clue. And I went in and I was crying and he was like, what are you, what happened? And I was like, you would never believe what happened. And I was like panicking and then
Alexandra.
I managed
So
to.
I thought, I mean, like, I didn't even think about like how you found out about me, because I mean, obviously your injury happened at the end of Feb, and that is always close to my mum's birthday. So I associate, unfortunate, fortunate, I don't know. I associate the two events as, in the same time. And I remember the time we spent with her, but I remember the call we had with Nick just prior to the wedding. Just to say, like, we wish you were here and we're thinking of you and Alexandra, and please send her lots of hugs and kisses and everything. But I thought you saw the thing because I know Michal, I mean, at that point, I was unable to do that myself. But Michal posted on Facebook. So I thought you learned via.
No, because I think he made the WhatsApp group was his, with some I think only closer people, and I think he did that before he posted.
Oh, shame, the
Like he made
sweet
this group with it
thing.
was like 15 people or yes, like 15, 20 people. I don't know how many they were, and I think just
Yeah.
closer friends and
Yeah.
colleagues and stuff. And he put the information there, and people, of course, were asking questions and were like obviously shocked. And after that, he made the post on
My
Facebook.
word. Look at me learning things.
But it was
Yeah.
very, I couldn't believe that you're
But I
going
mean,
through
I think
like
you
the same
also
kind of
had a
story.
better perspective of when I had my injury because you already had yours. So you kind of, I almost want to say you knew what was going on, where, okay, yes,
Ish.
ish, yes,
It was like
ish,
ish.
yes, okay, fine. A big ish at the end. But when your injury happened, it was still very foreign, the whole idea of brain injury. It's like, I didn't. I mean, I had one friend with a brain injury, but he is not an extremely close friend. So it's more someone I knew at that point in my life. We now became friends. I would say better friends. Mm. But yeah, greatness. I didn't all know all this. How we met, I did kind of touch on it when I explained that I moved to Amsterdam for a while. But yes, in Amsterdam, we became really good friends. I remember Alexandra very well, the very first day that I kind of noticed.
I hope so that you remember me.
The very first day I met you, right? You had this, I think it was an A4 book. It's almost like a huge mm-hmm. planner. And
now I have another one that I can
show. It's a big bad boy. It's probably like a kilogram at least.
Yes. Yeah, it was called, I don't know, it had a funny name, but it was like something with perfect planner or something.
Different sections and checklists and sticky note thingies. And I was thinking, wow, this is one person now. Who's more organized than what I am.
Also with all the plannings and all the stickers.
Yeah. I'm still doing it. From some specific brand. And for some reason, you decided to show me that book as well as some of the other colleagues. And you were very impressed by it. And I was thinking, wow, very...
What is this lady like, talking
very,
about?
Very, very organized lady.
Why?
But anyway, so I met her.
Oh, gosh. We met
in Amsterdam and we just remained. We became good friends and we remained good friends till today.
So happy for that.
And we've been just so, listen to me. I want to say just so everyone knows. No one is listening yet. But we were friends. What did I want to say? We've been in contact. I want to say... at least monthly, but now in the last year, I almost want to say,
especially since COVID.
COVID also affected how often we chat, but I mean, I would say like every 2 weeks at least we would have like a proper catch up mm-hmm. of an hour and a half where we would just FaceTime and chat. And
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like sometimes, you know, how we also say this, that we have such similar things that we almost finish each other's sentences. And sometimes it's like creepy almost, but it's
kind of must fun. Actually tell the listeners, maybe in this episode or the next one, of like how the idea of the podcast came about.
True.
Talk about that. Anyway, so let's quickly go over when the injuries happened. So mine happened the 20th of May, 2018. I was 25 at that point. I'm now 27.
So young, right? Yeah. We were so young.
Gosh, can't even believe it's more than 2 years later. No? Mine is not 2 years.
Yeah.
Am I 2 years? Yes, I'm past 2 years. Yeah. Wow, look at...
Doesn't feel
neck.
Like it,
that's
I know.
That's why I'm like, what? Is it already past 2 years? Anyway, it was 7 weeks after Michal and I got married. We went on honeymoon for 2.5 weeks over Easter time. And we came back and we still worked. And it was a Sunday morning. We had breakfast. Yeah.
Weekend.
Oh. Well, in a way, I'm happy that it was a weekend. Because if I was driving or maybe at work or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have, true. I mean, if it was in a car, I probably would have died and caused an accident.
Oh, God.
I mean, Michal was the best person care of me. But anyway, we had breakfast in bed. I actually went down, our little flat had 2 floors, and I went down, I got us some muesli and coffee, and we had breakfast in bed. And afterwards, I jumped into the shower, washed my hair, had my towel around me, and I was brushing my teeth. Michal was downstairs, and I almost felt lightheaded. And I do now and again feel lightheaded. I don't know if it's iron or low blood pressure, because I actually do have low blood pressure. But every now and again, I would get up fast and I would feel lightheaded for a second or so. But I, you know, it usually lasts like literally a second or two. And after 2 seconds, I could feel like this is not lightheaded anymore. Like, this is something else. So I kind of try to just stand still and kind of wait for it to be over. And now in retrospect, it's easy to see that. But without me even noticing at that point, I was getting weaker and weaker on my right-hand side. So I sat down on the side of the bath and I spit out my toothpaste and I started collapsing completely from me getting paralyzed. And I was lying in the sink, literally like in the sink, because not even the muscles in my back could keep me like from just like sitting up, right? And I called Michal and I think he answered, he answered once and he then said like, yay, Sophia. And I almost didn't feel like I had the energy of saying like, quickly come up or anything. So I didn't say anything. And I was like, listen, like something is freaking weird. And I like took another, you know, deep breath and I yelled his name again. And then he came running up the stairs and he came into our room. Our room and bathroom was one, it's like a completely open plan thing. And he like looked at me and he's like, what's going on? And I just said, I don't know. And I think at that point, I mean, you could see panic in my eyes. So he's like, get up. And I said, oh, and I was kind of like looking at my body thinking, get up. And I just couldn't get up. So I was like, I can't get up. And at that point, he picked me up, carried me to the bed. And he, I don't know actually what happened at that point. I was already losing consciousness slowly. But he, for some reason, I think he tried to, he asked me to sit up straight and keep my arms in the air and things like that. I can't even remember if I kept the left side even in the air. I can't remember. But anyway, he, luckily he then realized that I had, I was having a stroke and he phoned.
Oh, that's good that he realized like, it. Because, you know, not a lot of people know.
That's what I'm saying.
Know.
Yeah. Like, I'm so happy that it happened at our house with Michal there, because if it was otherwise, it would have been so different. But anyway. And yeah, I was complete dead weight at that point. He phoned our general practitioner and she said, bring her to the hospital immediately. And it was just, I was a complete mess. I was actually, he had to dress me from like head to toe, wet hair, just got out of the shower. I couldn't even like lift my bum properly for him to put on my underwear. It was like I was completely dead. And before...
Must have been such a scare for
like
him
for
well.
Him, I could... Because for me, I mean, yes, I was scared. And I think I was crying at that point because I didn't know what was going on. But I was losing consciousness as well. So by the time he carried me down the stairs, I was halfway out. I mean, I can't remember... I remember like a glimpse of the car... And I remember him running into the hospital, carrying me into the hospital and putting me on the emergency room, like couch thing while he was running to towards the counter. But I can't even remember seeing him. I just remember the feeling of the couch or the seating area. And like, it was, that's it. Like anyway,
wow.
Now I have to look at my notes again because I completely feel.
That's so scary.
So I didn't feel any pain. I probably lost consciousness within 10, 15 minutes after the stroke. And I could literally feel like life slipping away, like consciousness, like just going gone. Anyway, at that hospital, they did an MRI and then they confirmed that it was a clot and they administered the correct medicine that dissolved the clot. And from there on onwards, here I am. Still on the recovery journey. But anyway.
It's so crazy. I didn't know the entire story. And now it's almost felt like it's playing in my mind when you were saying it. But did you, after they gave you that drug for dissolving the clot, was it then that, because, you know, you had to relearn everything.
Oh, yeah.
Did you try then to speak and you saw that there were issues, or was it, did it take a time until you were realizing that you were like forgetting names of people or couldn't,
the first, you know, the day that it happened, because it happened in the morning, right? So I think it was around like 9:30 or something like that on the Sunday. The Sunday evening, I was awake for a small bit, and I remember Michal giving me a hug in bed. Oh, I want to cry if I think about this part. Because we were just back from honeymoon and everything, it was always like our thing to take like a selfie wherever we were. And Michal's got like a really good selfie arm. And we took a selfie in the hospital, like me lying on the bed. I remember that because obviously we have the photo, so it makes it easier to remember. But I can't remember anything from that day. So we didn't try and do anything. I was just completely still asleep, even after they dissolved the clot. I was then in, no, I'm lying. Oh my gosh, I'm thinking of day two now. I was actually sleeping in ICU. We didn't take a picture in ICU. In ICU, it was awful. Like, I didn't like it at all. I think day two, I also don't remember anything. That's the picture that I remember. But I can't even remember that they did anything. I think there was a doctor that came out and, like, asked me, like, lots of questions. But we can maybe talk about that on another day. Yeah. I feel like it's going to take too much time.
We will, if we go over.
Because that first week is intense, but you know, we can talk about that maybe at some other point.
We will. Yes. Well, you know, it's good, I think, for the readers and every readers. Well, why am I talking here? Listeners to hear how it, what actually happens or can happen when you have a stroke. Of course, everyone's story is slightly different with brain injury, but I think the big picture is the same. It's good that you told your story because I don't remember anything about it. Like, there's like a week of it's called something like temporary amnesia.
It's just gone, like nothing.
So everything is time gone, but I know from only from what Nick was telling me, like, because of course I asked him 100 times to tell me exactly what happened from the beginning to the end, because I really want to know, of course. But the story is that we came back from work, and we were back on, like, I remember that day at work so well. It's like, I can't believe that this thing happened on the same day, because I didn't feel anything, like, I didn't feel sick. It was a normal day at work. Nothing was going on. Then we left work at 5 something. We were on the way back, and he says that I was telling him that I was having a headache on the way home.
Because you and Nick worked together, right? So the listeners can know that he left work together.
Yes, so we left work together, and we were coming home, and apparently I was complaining about having a headache. And then we got home, and I went, you know, to lie on the bed for a bit, and he heat up soup, and then he said, you know, just come and eat. And I was like, sure, let's eat. And then I ate, and then apparently I went, and I was, you know, vomiting, like, all I ate.
Really? You also vomited? Because I also vomited next to the bed. Like, I didn't even say that now, but yes, I was vomiting as well. That is so strange.
Yes. Yeah. Well, apparently, because I was reading recently about I saw a show on TV, and they said it's very serious if somebody has a headache and is vomiting at the same time. So then I was like, oh, because then he would have known that something's going on if he knew this, but obviously it's, I think, not so known. So I was telling him, that's what he said, I was telling him, call the ambulance, something's going wrong.
Alexandra.
And that's probably because I never vomit. Like, if I'm sick, it's, I'm never vomiting. Like, I don't remember a time in my life almost that I, except car sickness when I was little, but, you know, besides that, not really. So he was telling me that I was saying that, and he was like, yeah, but maybe it's just, you know, a headache or something. You're maybe just sick. And I was like, no, something is wrong. Call the ambulance. So here in the Netherlands, you don't really call the ambulance if something's wrong. You call the doctor. And because it was evening, there was no, the doctor's was closed. And there's like an evening doctor that's on call. And he called that one. And they came over, he was telling me, and they looked at me, and they did all kinds of tests with lights in the eyes and stuff like that. And like, look here, look there. And that's when, at first, before they did the test, they did some other tests and they said, maybe it's food poisoning.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to leave, actually, he was telling me. And then he was like, I'm going to do some more tests. And they did with the eyes and like, something's wrong, they were saying. So then they said, okay, I'll just call the ambulance and we'll go to hospital. So the doctor called the ambulance and then they took me here in Amsterdam. And Nick was like, yeah, they took you to a room. They did an MRI and then the doctor came out because he was waiting in the waiting room. And the doctor took me in a separate room, he said. And then he was like, and when he closed the door to the room, I knew something was wrong. Like, you know, if something's good, you're not going to put someone in another room to tell him something.
So can you remember that part? Or are you telling now because Nick told you this?
Yeah, because he told
me. Okay, so you don't remember this yourself, from your own memory, right? Okay.
No. So then he said, like, they told him, you know, that I was having like a hemorrhagic stroke. And then he was like, what is that? And then he was like, yeah, it's a brain bleed. It's like blood in her brain. And then he was like, whoa, you know, maybe she's going to be paralyzed. So what's going on, going to happen with her? So the doctor was like, yeah, we don't know. We don't have any spaces in Amsterdam for emergencies. We're sending her to Rotterdam, like to the hospital there. And then they put me on an ambulance and it's like 40 minutes ride on the ambulance to Rotterdam. And that's the only thing that I regret not remembering. Like, I am grateful that I don't remember the pain and the story, because I guess it's quite disturbing, traumatic. Yeah. But I do regret not knowing how it feels to be on an ambulance.
Alexandra! Oh my goodness! Oh my word!
And so I was telling him, like, how does it feel? And does it go really fast? Like,
and
you
Nick
see them,
like,
always crossing on
red. I
don't
know. I didn't even think about that. I was just worried.
Yes, exactly.
I was I also asked Michal things, and he's like, I don't know. It's just like, I was worried about you. But, oh, shame. Yes, and then...
so, you know, it's true. Well, then they kept me for a week in that hospital in Rotterdam. And then they saw that it's the diagnosis that it was actually like brain malformation, which is like very rare. And that it's like a clot of, a clutter of vessels. And that one of them had broken, and that's why there was like
bleeding.
Bleeding. So then they said, well, we're gonna check in the next few days how it can be treated, because they had like different ways to treat it. And then they, after a few days, they said that they can operate it, and they scheduled like the brain surgery for after a few
weeks. Again, like during this time, you was now again completely asleep. Completely unconscious.
I was not asleep. No, I was never unconscious. That's the thing. I was always conscious, but I don't have a memory.
Okay, so you were responding. Also, you were talking to Nick, but you just can't remember any of this.
Yes, and I had very big issues with memory. So every 2 minutes, I was saying the same thing, like the same thing, and again. And I, like, the next day after that thing. The next day I was supposed at work to have a meeting, so I kept repeating every 5 minutes, oh, I have to go tomorrow, I have a meeting, and I have to arrange the catering. So Nick was like, no, you're not going tomorrow to work, it's okay, I arranged it, catering with someone else. And then I was like, ah, okay. And then after 5 minutes again, I was like, I have to go, I have a meeting tomorrow.
you know, if you've seen that
51st date. Yes. The lady never remembers, or something like that. Like, I was asking him afterwards, asking him, like, weren't you annoyed to like say the same thing over and over again? But yeah, after about 4 days, I started getting like normal, kind of like realizing where I am and stuff. But it took a while. But yeah, we can talk all these things longer in another.
Okay. What were the injuries at the end of the day? So mine was an ischemic stroke that affected my vertebral artery. So in plain language, it means that I had a clot preventing the blood flow, in other words, the oxygen flow to the back of my brain. Initially, from what we could see, it left my left side of my brain damaged, and therefore affected the right side of my body. And I actually have a short TED video explanation. It's only 5 minutes that I'll put in the the notes of this podcast for everyone to watch, because I think it's quite good to be a little bit more informed. So that was, was my stroke.
It's also a hard topic, right? I mean,
And I think it's...
We didn't know anything about it before.
So it's maybe good to know. But I'm not going to talk about the, what is the word? How it affects my life now. I think, again, we'll talk about that in a different episode. But yeah, it wasn't a clot that stopped blood flow in my brain.
Yeah, and it's good that we're together on this podcast, because we had there's two types of stroke, and you had one. And
exactly,
So it's like, oh, okay. Like, even before, I didn't even know. You know, I thought the stroke is a stroke, but you had like the ischemic one, which is the clot, blood clot, and I had the hemorrhagic one, which is like a brain bleed, basically. And mine was one deep in the brain, in one of the brain ventricles. And it was because of that malformation having broken, which I didn't know about, obviously, because I had never had any headaches or any issues to worry about something like that. I even saw recently online on a website that it said that 60% of the people who have this are having in their life learning disabilities, like before the bleeding happens, just because of this malformation. And I was thinking, well, probably I don't think I'm in the 60%, because I was, you know, I always liked studying, and I was always one of the top in the class.
I don't understand what you are saying. So you're saying that someone will have a stroke not knowing they had a stroke, and then thereafter
have... No. Just because of this, these are like a tangle of vessels in the brain, and they're always there. And that's the malformation.
Oh, but so if you have it, basically, you know, born with the malformation. Is that what you're saying? Uh-huh. Ah, okay, got it.
So it was always there, but you just don't know about it. So
but it actually, prior to the stroke, it could affect people in the way...
In many ways.
In many ways, but one of them being having a learning disability. Got it.
Yeah, like more like difficulties or something like that. But the other ones are like you have headaches. I never had that. You had like... there were multiple things I saw online, but none of them really matched. Mm-hmm. Maybe one was that you sometimes have pain on a side of a body, and sometimes I had like pins and needles on my left. But I never really went into like super investigation mode.
Jeez.
But we'll talk more about all the stuff that affects us now and what that means for us right now in a different... Thanks everyone for listening into our story today, the intro podcast of this season, and we really hope you enjoyed and especially found this podcast useful, maybe for yourself if you're one of the those struggling with a brain injury, or maybe you're one of those persons who knows someone or is a carer for someone with a brain injury. We hope that the next episodes that come will help you even more. So we hope to see you back soon. And if you have questions, let us know.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye.